Everybody.
Y'all want closing song? No, we will have a closing song. Yeah.
All right, I tried to whisper, but I was caught. Good evening. It's so good. It's really good to see all of you here this evening. You could have chosen to be somewhere else. More interesting, more exciting, but it's good to have you. Tonight's topic is, it's more like a question. It's Christmas, the cure. And that word has become very important in the midst of this pandemic. It's Christmas, the cure. So, before we begin, let's just look to God in prayer. Dear Jesus, we want to thank you that this evening we could be found in your house. And on this special day that we have, just to remember what you have done for us, that day when you came for us. You came because you loved us. And we ask this evening that as we worship you with songs, now we want to worship you by listening to your voice, by listening to what you have said to us in the Bible. And we ask that your Spirit will help us to understand so that we will be able to truly not just know the meaning of Christmas, but to be able to rejoice and to celebrate it as you have intended it to be. So thank you again this evening that we could be here. Teach us, help us to hear your voice. And it is in your name and for your sake we ask. Amen. Is Christmas the cure? Christmas, for most people, it's probably the favorite time of the year because it is a time when we get to be with family and friends. We get to share good food. And also, it's a time that we give and we receive. But for us, as followers of Jesus, it is a time to remember and celebrate. It's a time we pause to remember the birth of Jesus and what it means, and then thanking him and worshiping him because Jesus, being God himself, came to this planet to live amongst us. So the question is, after 2,000 years, is there any good that the arrival of Jesus did for us? What good has that done for us? It's been 2,000 years. Has the planet Earth become a better place for us to live in? Don't you think that's a valid question? If Jesus, being God, came, then he must have made a difference. That is planet Earth a better place to live in? And if you and I, we are honest with ourselves, we know that the answer is a big no, no. So, what went really wrong? What is the problem? And I'd like for you to think with me for the next maybe 20, 25 minutes and ask ourselves, what is really the problem facing us today? And of course, the first thing that comes to mind is this pandemic caused by the virus. And it's on everybody's lips. And many of you are today experts. You can tell me many things about this virus, but we're not here to talk about this virus. But with this pandemic comes a long list of other problems. Many companies have gone bankrupt, and many have lost their jobs. But the most tragic part of it all is that many have lost their lives. But we don't ask the question, why? We fail to ask the correct question. And the correct question should be, why is this happening to us? Instead, we ask the who and the how. The who and the how. Who did it? Who caused this problem? Was it in Wuhan or in some lab or in some Olympic stadium? And we play the blame game. Or we ask how? How to find a cure? What vaccine is most effective? And we are still working on it. We are all asking the wrong question. We should be asking why. Why is this happening to us? And then we are all faced with a lockdown for the last 2 years. Start, stop, start, stop. And then now we have the VTL. Start, stop, start, stop. And like what Joshua said earlier, when will it ever end? And then we go into the alpha, the beta, and the delta, and the lambda, and the mu, and now we have the omicron, and soon we're going to have epsilon round the corner. And we've all become Greek experts. When will it ever end? And after 2 years, we have found that divorces have increased, depression and suicides are also on the rise. And many businesses today are still on the brink of collapse. So, we find many countries wanting to relax the restrictions, open up the borders, and especially during this Christmas season, thinking that it is not only good for the businesses, but more importantly, that's what we need to lift up the spirit of the people, because we have all been so depressed. We are going crazy, and many are depressed. So we still have the question. Is Christmas the cure? And the answer is no, because we know fully well that during this season, with all the shopping, the feasting, and the partying, the fun and the joy is only temporary. It will all evaporate, fizzle out in a day or two. You can drink all you want, but at the most, you will wake up with a bad hangover. Is Christmas the cure? Of course not. COVID is only the most recent addition to a long list of problems the world is facing. And we can broadly categorize all our problems, the world's problems facing the human race. We can categorize it into two groups. One, man-made. The other one, natural. Man-made and natural, or sometimes we call them natural phenomena, right? A phenomena is really a phenomenon, is actually an occurrence, something that is an event which is naturally occurring in nature. So we call earthquake a natural phenomenon. It happens, but it's natural. Let's first look at the man-made problems that we have. And there's a long list. Man-made problems, top of it is wars, riots. And with wars and riots, we have famine. And today we're talking about global warming, we're talking about climate change, climate crisis, carbon emission, carbon footprint, and carbon tax. And the list goes on and on and on. Man-made, so we think. Take a look at war. We have already seen two world wars being fought. And as we're sitting here today, there's still many smaller wars being fought in the Middle East, in the African continent. And we have skirmishes along the Indian and China border, on the Korean Peninsula. That's been like ages. And more recently, with tension building up between China and Taiwan. How would that develop? We don't know. But if something goes wrong, you and I were in big trouble. There's a big war going to happen. But this is the reality of where we live in today in Asia. And the question comes back to us, is Christmas the cure? Wars have been known to have actually stopped on Christmas Day itself. They would declare a truce, a ceasefire, just for that day. But the shooting resumed at the stroke of midnight, when Christmas is over. So Christmas is not the cure. And there are many other man-made problems. For example, our political systems, whether it's democracy, communism, autocracy, aristocracy, whatever you want, it is all man-made. And it is flawed. And it is a big problem. Then we have the economic systems. Capitalism or communism, the rich gets richer. We have our educational system, we have our social systems. And if we look at society today, drugs are everywhere, crime, sex trafficking, prostitution, gambling, and the list goes on. Is there a solution? I don't think so. And lastly, and I usually hate to say all this, we have our religious systems, don't we? Man-made religious systems trying to do good to gain a place in heaven. And churches ripping off their people. And with clergy raping the people whom they are supposed to protect. What an utter disgrace that is. And today we have to take responsibility for all that. Is there a solution? Do you have a solution? I don't. Can we right all the wrongs that has been done? I don't think so. So those are the man-made problems. Take a look at the natural phenomena. Natural disasters, like earthquakes, pestilence, diseases, plagues, tsunamis, hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes. These are all natural disasters. And then we have flooding. Don't we hear it just across the causeway? Many people are suffering flooding. What is the cause? Do we know? There's one more natural disaster which we hardly talk about. And that is meteorites hitting planet Earth. And they have before. And they will continue to keep raining down from the sky. I don't know whether any of you are aware, but just about a month ago, barely, on the 23rd of November, NASA launched a spacecraft. And this spacecraft will fly 6.7 million miles in an attempt to crash it, like a suicide bomber, you know, kamikaze, to ram it into a small asteroid, which is only the size of a football stadium. And it's gonna crash into this asteroid at 15,000 miles per hour in an attempt to change the orbit, the trajectory of this small asteroid, because they have calculated that this asteroid is going to come so close to planet Earth that it's going to be a danger to us. It is true. This has always been happening. It's just that we don't know. And this small spacecraft is going to reach the asteroid 6.7 million miles away sometime in September, all right? In September. So wait for the news. Come September and whoosh, it misses. What do we do? The asteroid is heading on a collision course with our planet. Now, you may say, Pastor John, I think you've been seeing too many movies. It's not Bruce Willis kind of movies. How many of you watch Bruce Willis movies? All right, very few. All right. He would get into a spacecraft and then he will go out and save the world, right? Superman. But this is not a Superman movie. This is real life and it can happen. And as we look at all these calamities together, scientists, they are trying to explain to us the how and the why. But they are all dead wrong. They are only describing the symptoms, not the cause, the symptoms. It's kind of like you, one day you wake up, you have a fever. But fever is only a symptom. Something else is causing the fever. But we need to know the cause, the why. And scientists are not able to tell us. So the question still remains, is Christmas the cure to all our problems? Whole mankind, the whole human race is faced with a huge problem. And is Christmas the cure? And the answer is no. Christmas is not the cure. But what happened on Christmas Day 2000 years ago is the cure. When Jesus came, Jesus is the cure. That was when God came in a human form of Jesus. to live among us, to tell us what's the problem and what's the solution. When Jesus came, Jesus told us all these things is going to happen. Wars, famine, pestilence, diseases. Wars, famine, pestilence. Luke chapter 21, verses 9 to 11 tells us, verse 9 reads, "When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven." Jesus was telling his disciples, a time will come when end of the earth, there are signs. And these signs are wars and uprisings. But Jesus said, don't be frightened. Those are only signs. But the end will not come right away. And he went on to say, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Meaning, we are going to see people changing on the throne. Kings will be dethroned, and then someone else will come up, and someone else will take over power. Do we see that today? Just look a bit north. We have a prime minister who didn't last 1 year. He lasted only 11 months. And throughout history, we see that happening so often. When I was young, I used to have a little booklet called the Book of Knowledge. And they would name all the capitals and kings of this country. And I memorized all of them. And I know the names and of the kings and all that. But I gave up because the kings keep changing so often. Today, we don't even know. Do you know who is the Chancellor of Germany? You don't. Even though Merkel has been sitting there for the last maybe 14 years or so, that year will keep changing. This is what Jesus is talking about. Thrones will keep changing. And there will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilence in various places. And there are going to be great signs, fearful signs from the heaven. After the initial part will come a period we call the tribulation. It is the last days, the Bible says, or in simple words, it's the end of the world. End of the world. That will come a time when stars will fall out from the sky, the great signs from heaven. We read that in Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 26. Let me read them to you. Verse 24. "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven. And the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." That's the second coming of Jesus after the 7-year tribulation. So Mark 13, what does it tell us? It's telling us that it will not be just wars, famine, and diseases, but meteorites are coming. Meteorites are rocks, some about 50 kilometers long. Can you imagine how long is 50 kilometers? Probably not. It's about 2 Singapore put together side by side. I think so. And they are moving out of their natural orbit, and they will drop from the skies, Isaiah says, like figs, ripened figs, fruits that keep just dropping onto the ground. And when they come, you will not only get earthquakes, but tsunamis, flooding. We've seen a tsunami fairly recently, and there's no running away from a tsunami. And those will be terrible times happening in apocalyptic proportions. Never, never to be experienced before. And when that time comes, it will be so frightful that even the strongest will become crying like women. But that's not all, because in this chapter, we're told that there will be other forms of chaos in the cosmos, chaos in the skies. We are told that the sun will be darkened, it will be covered, it will be darkened for many days. Which means when the sun is covered, plant life will die. And eventually, you and I will die. And if for some reason you survive, because you're well prepared, probably you stock up on some canned food and a lot of toilet paper, and you have learned how to grow vegetables, hydroponic vegetables. But the Bible tells us the sun will be darkened. You will die. And again, for some reason, if you survive, the Bible continues to tell us that this planet that we know today will no longer be destroyed by a great flood, like in the days of Noah. This time it will be destroyed in a great ball of fire. It will be destroyed by fire. And today we know it is a possibility, because many of the few big superpowers in this world, they have enough nuclear warheads to destroy this world many times over, many times over. So Jesus has just told us the what is going to happen. And Jesus is going to tell us the why. The why. Why are all these calamities happening? The Bible tells us very clearly that all this are happening to us because of our sins. Our sins. It is the judgment of God on this planet. It is the wrath of God, the anger of God against sin. And God is going to deal with all the wickedness that you and I have done. And the question is, will you repent? If not, if you continue to rebel, and if you are still alive by that time, you will go through a period which is the most terrifying time on planet Earth, the Great Tribulation, after which you will spend eternity in hell, because that's the punishment for your sins. But the good news is this: you don't have to end up in hell. You can call out to Jesus. You can cry out to Jesus to save you. But first, you need to admit that you're a sinner. That's A. And that's B. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And he did. He died. He was buried. But he rose again on the third day. Believe. C. A, B, C. C is for you to call out, to cry out to Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Strangely, We find that in the Old Testament too, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9. Verse 9 reads, they say, whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. That's a promise from God. That's the good news. So once you admit that you're a sinner, you believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross, God will forgive you your sins, and you will become a child of God. But if you choose not to believe, that's your choice. But the next time you read or hear about wars, diseases, famine, earthquakes, flooding, or volcanic ashes, next time you hear or read about them, then you will know that what Jesus has said is coming true. And these are warning signs that our planet will soon be destroyed completely. You can know for sure that soon meteorites will come crashing into our planet, and there will be total and complete destruction of this world that we know. How it's going to go up in a ball of fire, I don't really know. Perhaps it is a nuclear warfare, we don't know. But certainly we know that it will go up in a ball of fire this time and for the last time. But Jesus loves us, and he's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. New heaven and a new earth. It will not be polluted like what we know today. And you can be there if only you will believe in Jesus. And some of you may be saying, wow, is it that simple? By believing in Jesus, that he is God, he died for us, it means that you're willing to submit to him, surrender your life to him, and he will be your master, your Lord, not just your savior. And that's the good news. And I know some of you coming here this evening, after this point, you'll be saying, man, I regretted coming. I was hoping to hear something nice, you know, but this is not nice. You know. The good news is, Jesus loves you. You can have eternal life in heaven with him. That's the good news. Now, for some of you, and I think many of us here, we are believers, Christians, but I like to call ourselves followers of Jesus or disciple. If you are a disciple of Jesus, what is Jesus saying today? He's saying to us, the end is coming. Get your life straight. Get your life straight. The question is how? How? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. How then can I straighten my Christian life? First, get to know him. And how do you get to know him? By studying his word. Then having read, understood, then you obey. And how do we obey Jesus? By reaching out to others with the good news. And then making disciples. Those were the last words of Jesus to his disciples and to us. Go into all the world and then make disciples. How are you doing on that front? If you're not doing anything about it, you have to know, this is the heart of Jesus. This is the thing that drives Jesus, souls of human beings, like this. And that is his demand on us as disciples. Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and he's coming again. And when he does, and when you and I stand before him, I have to ask myself this question. What will he say of me? And you have to ask yourself this question. What will he say of you? And like I say, this may not sound like Christmas Day. And you may be saying, Pastor John, I came hoping to hear something cheerful, something positive, something, an uplifting message, something like God loves me, but all I'm hearing now is destruction, end of the world, and hell. Man, but I tell you something, that yes, Jesus loved you. He loved you so much so that he was willing to go to the cross for you and die in your place so that you can receive forgiveness. But at the same time, Jesus is also holy. He's just. He must punish our sins if they are not forgiven. And this is the best news I can tell you today. Don't put your hope on this crummy planet. It's going to go away. Much less believe in all our human leaders, whether they are political leaders or religious leaders. They are human. Human. Put your trust in Jesus. Submit yourself to Jesus. Only Jesus can give you and I the best gift ever for Christmas. Because he did. He gave himself for us on the cross. And today, if you're forgiven, you can spend eternity in heaven with him. I hope that you will make that choice. I hope that you will choose Jesus. And if you're a disciple, get your life straight, because Jesus is coming again very soon. God bless. I will be happy to speak to any of you, answer your questions, or pray with you. But I urge you, if you have not believed in Jesus, you need to do it today. Because tomorrow you may not have it. And like I say, I'll be happy to pray with you or answer any of your questions after this.